Amid record stock performance, what moves are founders and executives making with their portfolios? This is The Markets. Hi, I'm Sam Grobart. Today, I'm joined by Carrie Blum, Global Head of the Equity Structuring Group within Private Wealth Management. Carrie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about who your clients are and what you do for them.
Would love to. Thanks so much, Sam. So my team works with wealth management clients to help them utilize the firm's capital markets platform to tailor the investments in their portfolio. So that could either be building a portfolio and putting money to work in the strategic or tactical investments, or for holders of concentrated equity positions, helping them think about how to manage the risk associated with the positions.
Tell me a little bit more, concentrated equity positions. What does that mean exactly?
Large size positions could either be on an absolute or relative basis. Sometimes that could be 90%, 95% of someone's overall balance sheet. Those would be founders of companies that go public, families that sell private companies to public companies and get equity as part of the deal consideration. And then more recently, in the last capital market cycle, we found an increasing number of our clients were GPs or LPs getting distributions from venture capital firms. Concentrated equity can be a great way to create wealth, but on a risk-adjusted basis is generally not the best way to maintain wealth. Just to put that into perspective, when looking at the Russell 3000 over the last 30 years, the median stock was 3.3 times more volatile than the index, and 23% of the stocks in the index lost more than a fifth of their value during the average calendar year.
Carrie, markets have been at or around all-time highs lately. What kinds of conversations have you been having with your client base about that? What are they asking about?
Yeah, clients are very engaged right now, as you said, because the market is back to all-time highs. Stocks have performed incredibly well. So when we're talking to executives of public companies, most of those conversations revolve around helping them create sales plans. So looking to find the right timing, price objectives to help them achieve their liquidity goals with the position. In fact, if you look at the total sales of restricted stock by individuals and institutions, we're annualizing to be the second highest year in a decade, which is consistent with what we've seen in capital markets activity, with 2021 being the outsized year.
And what about investors who are not executives of public companies? How does that change for them?
Yeah, so we find that client set to be a lot more tactical and have the ability to dynamically adjust their implementation based on the opportunity set available. They have less constraints. And so for clients interested in hedging, so reducing the volatility of an existing position via strategies such as collars, putting guardrails around your stock, the market conditions that drive those collar optics are particularly attractive right now due to two reasons. One, the overall rise in interest rates that we've seen over the past 2 years, but more recently, as there has been demand for call options, for upside participation in a potential further rally, in the collar, our investors are selling those call options, and so they're selling them at higher prices. And so the combinations of those two market dynamics, so one, higher interest rates and more demand for upside calls, has led to collar optics where our clients can right now achieve additional upside of multiple percentage points just due to the market opportunity.
Now, of course, last week we had our colleague Lizzie Reed on talking about equity capital markets, and there does seem to be some restarting in the IPO market. What does that mean for your clients?
Yeah, so we're spending a lot of time with clients who either just created wealth via capital markets events or have a high probability of creating it in the future. And a lot of those conversations are really focused on planning. So helping them think about what will the path to liquidity look like? What are the different considerations to take into account? And also making sure that they've spent some time thinking about trust and estate planning in conjunction with that wealth creation event.
And Carrie, what about clients who are looking to sell larger positions?
So the ability to execute block sales has allowed clients to trade larger sizes at tighter discounts now as well. And that's due to the investment community's increasing appetite for risk assets broadly. So to give you an example, relative to 2022 and 2023, we've seen the average trade size across the market increase by about 15%, while at the same time, the average discount available to our sellers has tightened by about 100 basis points, given the demand environment.
So, Carrie, we're talking right now about market highs, but of course, this is in marked contrast to the equity sell-off of 2022, and you referred to that earlier. That, of course, was the worst for U.S. indices since 2008. What have been the lessons from that downturn?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it, because the number one question we get from clients is, what should I know? And so we're all familiar with the concept of buyer's remorse and seller's remorse. The sell-off of 2022 introduced us to the concept of holder's remorse. So that sell-off, as you said, came on the back of particularly strong capital markets activity. As a result of that capital markets activity, there was a significant amount of wealth creation, and many investors now had more concentrated equity positions, and they wanted to think about their path to diversification. In many instances, we had worked with investors to help them on the path to partial or full diversification. But in some instances, they had been considering plans but had not yet implemented them. And that might have been because they were waiting for further price appreciation, or sometimes they were just reluctant to make an execution decision. Or sometimes they just wanted to wait a little bit longer. But when that sell-off happened and we saw significant valuation compression due to the inflation concerns, in some cases growth equity names on 50, 60, 70%, over this time period, our clients experienced this holder's remorse or regret.
They got caught on the wrong side of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Regret for not having taken action when they could have. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a good reminder that be prepared, spend the time in advance to think about what you want to do. And when those windows are there, move forward.
What move or data point has caught your eye recently?
So as you and I have both seen, through the end of the first quarter, the S&P has returned over 10%, the best first quarter performance since 2019. But when you unpack that a little bit, what you see is there's very strong performance, as we know, in mega cap tech.
Obviously.
And about half of the names in the S&P 500 are within 5% of their one-year highs. And so looking at that more closely and understand the factors that are driving it and where we can be more opportunistic with clients is something we're very focused on right now.
And lastly, what'll be on your radar in the weeks ahead?
Yeah, so three things we're watching right now. So one, the macro backdrop, and in particular, economic data releases, central bank policy, interest rates, et cetera. Two, the capital markets cycle and the ability to help our clients navigate through upcoming capital markets activity. And then lastly, as we just talked about, single stock dispersion and what's happening at the single stock level.
Carrie, this was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That does it for another episode of The Markets. Be sure to find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more, please visit us at gs.com and subscribe to Briefings, our weekly newsletter about the global economy. I'm Sam Grobart. Thanks so much for listening. The opinions and views expressed in this program may not necessarily reflect the institutional views of Goldman Sachs or its affiliates. This program should not be copied, distributed, published, or reproduced in whole or in part, or disclosed by any recipient to any other person without the express written consent of Goldman Sachs. Each name of a third-party organization mentioned in this program is the property of the company to which it relates, is used here strictly for informational and identification purposes only, and is not used to imply any ownership or license rights between any such company and Goldman Sachs. The content of this program does not constitute a recommendation from any Goldman Sachs entity to the recipient and is provided for informational purposes only. Goldman Sachs is not providing any financial, economic, legal, investment, accounting, or tax advice through this program or to its recipient. Neither Goldman Sachs nor any of its affiliates makes any representation or warranty, express or implied, as to the accuracy or completeness of the statements or any information contained in this program and any liability, therefore, including in respect of direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. Our theme music was composed by Soundboard.